Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Chet Waterhouse is going to do his thing coming up, which is always hilarious. You'll probably have to listen to it twice to really absorb it. And the news as well. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John, the secret to staying sweat-free this summer. Tommy John, summer-ready, ultra-breathable underwear and bras, cool cotton underwear for men and for women. Like having your own on-body AC unit made from premium natural Pima cotton and enhanced airflow. It evaporates the sweat super fast. Lounge pants, lazy day joggers, or soft Zoom-ready tees and polos. Upgrade to Tommy John. Do it today for the enhanced breathable designs. I'm wearing mine right now. I wear them, take a long walk or jog, work up a little sweat, and then walk around the house. They just air dry underneath your jogging shorts as well. They got the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guarantee. It's the best. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Rich here from Virginia. I was doing a little surfing the other night on the internet and came across something about William Holden, the actor. Died when he banged his head at his home drunk, passed out and bled to death, which is sad news, of course. But what I thought was funny and reminded me of you was his burial, the Neptune Society. Only other person I've ever heard of. Keep it real. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, everyone in my family is a member of the Neptune Society. And if you're an atheist and you're cheap and the Carollas can check both those boxes twice, that means you give these guys like $40. And whenever you die, the dude in the station wagon just shows up, takes you out, cremates you, and throws you in the ocean.
Are you cool with that for you?
I would... Well, here's what I would probably like. First off, I can tell you right now, Jimmy Kimmel, who will probably outlive me, would never abide by that. I mean, one time me, Danny Two Sheets, and Jimmy were sitting in our office at the Man Show, and it was like, I remember Daniel Kelson, he went, you know, do we need to get each other Christmas gifts every year? Like, we buy each other, like, golf carts and shit like that, like rich guy Hollywood stuff. Like, maybe I just give, I don't know. Like, it's such a hassle trying to find, you know, finding a great gift for Jimmy is tough because he has everything and you can't just get him a gift certificate or something. And Jimmy just went, fuck that. We're getting everyone gifts.
Like, man of principle.
Jimmy's like, I'm getting you a fucking cool gift every single year. And if you don't want to give me one, then don't give me one. But that's what I'm doing for you. And so, like, whenever you'd say to Jimmy, like, let's just skip the whatever, don't whatever, he'd go, no, we're doing it. You know? Like, I was, any event, anything. So, Jimmy would not abide by me or almost anyone else dying and just silently going out and being dumped in the ocean like the Neptune Society does. But the Carollas would definitely do it. And the thing that's funny about the Neptune Society is for an extra $40, you can be on the barge while they scatter the ashes over the open sea and throw the rose petals down. We didn't even buy in for that.
Oh, boy.
That it was like literally you die, they pick you up, that is the end. There's no anything after that.
No pomp, no circumstance.
What is the Neptune Society run now? Now see, you gotta understand, like when my grandparents signed up in, you know, 1972, it was like $18.
'73. Yeah. That it was founded in '73, so they probably 73. Got in the ground floor.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
charter members.
Yeah.
Charter members. Yeah.
Jupiter Society.
I really don't even know the legality of it because my grandfather passed at like 4 a.m. or something. And I got one of those middle of the night phone calls from my grandma, you know, like your grandfather's dead, you know, come to the house. And I got there at like 5:15 or something. And there was just a plainclothes dude with his mom's station wagon just carrying grandpa out. It's not, there wasn't a, there was no coroner or anything. It was like pronouncing the time or the death or anything. Just carried him out, put him in the back of the wagon. Wow. The wagon was, it was Quincy-esque. It wasn't marked. It was just a station wagon, and they left, and that's the last we've seen of them.
Yeah, I wonder if they're updated to, like, you know, logoed vehicles.
And don't they have, there's got to be some protocol, right? I mean, there probably was some then, but we weren't aware of it. They just carted him out.
I know there's a mortuary in Long Beach, and I don't know if this is common or not, but if nobody's come to claim the body in a certain amount of time, somebody will volunteer, a sailor of sorts will volunteer to take it out and have it cremated and tossed in the ocean. So I don't know.
A sailor of sorts? A
sailor of sorts.
whatever they do. A seafaring.
They're pretty much just burglars. They're just stealing dead people is all you're talking about.
So basically I'm saying some people do it for free.
Yeah, so they cremate you and then they scatter you over the open sea. And but again, it's extra to keep wanting to go out. That was turned into
I'm
a.
I'm sure they cremate you. Yeah,
yeah. They don't just let seagulls style. Eat you. Yeah, that was a
in a suit bag.
It was a Crank Yankers Bertram bit where he called one of those places and they were like, yeah, we can arrange all this stuff. And then he kept going, and then I can fish, right? And they're like, no, you cannot fish. Well, I'll just bring my tackle out. No, yeah. No. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Do you sell bait though? And they're like, no, you can't do it. He just kept going because it was based on a funny bit from the Acme Theater a million years ago. Always, I don't know, I haven't done it in a while, but it always cracked me up. I love, Cesare, I'm doing this for you.
All right.
There was a guy who was a really funny writer that I met many years ago at the Acme Theater. And his name was John McCann. And he was just a brilliant writer. And his bit, and I always love it when they work it out, his bit was the audience in the theater was attending a seminar. So at first, so you're addressing the audience, but you have a reason to address the audience. And it was Skipper Ned Heem's Adventure Burials. So he would start by thanking everyone for showing up to his symposium. And then he would pitch his adventure burials. And the thing was, he'd go like, you're going to go out there. You're going to shed some tears. You're going to grieve. But after that, we're going sport fishing. And he started getting into these details that always made me laugh my ass off. I think his boat was called the Ash Taxi. And I think he had his first mate, Gus. His first mate, Gus, was a defrocked Jesuit who was capable of reciting words of comfort in the three major religions. And if you're an atheist, he'll tell you a joke about God. Like, that was his thing. And he'd go, while I'm top, he'd go, well, Gus is down below playing Chariots of Fire on the hornpipes. I'll be topside looking out for Record School of Perch and Bonita. And then he kept doing this juxtaposition between the funeral and the fishing. He'll go, Gus'll dry your tears, adjust your tackle, and rig your drag line. And he doesn't have to be told twice to crack you a cold one. He'll dry your tears, adjust your drag line, and he doesn't have to be told twice to crack you a cold one. It always cracked. It was so funny that I always just stand on the wings and watch him do the bit while he was down below playing Chariots of Fire on the hornpipes. He'll be upside. Everything was just this constant contrast between sport fishing and funerals. And it just was such a funny ass bit.
That is full blown Fred Willard conceptual. That's right. That's out there in Albert Brooks territory. You know, that's so great.
Yeah, Skipper Ned Heem, and he would go. Was that loved one who died really loved one, or maybe just a business partner died owing you money? In that case, you may want to opt for a chum slick of remembrance, bringing up Shark and Mako. Like, it got bizarre. I don't even know the audience knew what to do with it. It seems so bizarre. So do we know how much it is?
They don't say, but they just say like, oh, we're a third of the cost of a funeral. And then somewhere on Reddit, they said in Houston it costs $1,000. So
they just pick you up? Yeah. All right. Wait, what were we doing? Oh, Brian. Yeah. What were we doing?
Do I do me or Chet?
Yeah, let's do you first, then we'll do Chet.
So yeah, our week, Jeff, just so you know, dark week last week. We all did various things. Adam, you know, for the last, it's got to be like 7 years now, Christy and I have gone to Hawaii, and that's obviously off the table this year. Hawaii, with, you know, with their mandatory quarantine, everything was just so up in the air, wouldn't have made sense to make plans or go there. So Christy suggested something that I would never have even thought of. I kind of was aware of these things, but never really considered going to one. She goes, how about we go to a wellness retreat? Because, you know, you're going through, you know, your treatment, and you'll have just finished. You know, I'm everything's on her shoulders. You know, why don't we just go away for a week to one of these wellness retreats? And, you know, they're supposed to, you know, pick you up spiritually and physically and emotionally and mentally and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, that's a fun idea. So we found a place in Sedona, Arizona, of all places. And we
Where you'd find it.
Yeah. There are a few in California, but we opted for this one. It felt very remote. It was Chris has some pictures. Chris and Caitlin, it's amongst the red rocks in Arizona, and it's very remote, very small. I think there was like 8 rooms. Mm-hmm. So and of course they're a wellness, you know, retreat or whatever it is. So like they're very dedicated to sanitizing everything and keeping people apart. And it was like, this sounds perfect. This is exactly what we need. A little rest and relaxation off the grid. That's, you're looking at a picture. They have a crystal grotto for like meditation where the sun comes in. You can see the sunbeams mm-hmm. coming in from a skylight in the roof. But that's the actual like red clay dirt that it's built upon. There's no flooring. You just walk barefoot on the dirt and you meditate and do whatever. It's pretty woo woo. I wasn't quite sure what to expect. We booked a 7-day, you know, stay, obviously, and they call it a journey, and it was pretty awesome. I got my chakras aligned, which I'd never done before. Energy reading, energy clearing, Reiki healing. I'd never done any of this stuff before, and it was very. It coincided with me finishing my medication, my round of medication, and of course, you're looking there at the spectacular pool that no one was at. We were some of the only people there most of the time. Midweek, you can imagine, isn't quite as popular as the weekends. But yeah, it was very spiritually like fulfilling. I felt very fulfilled. Coincidentally, I finished my medication a few days before we left. So I was feeling great by the middle of the week. And I was getting all these treatments. Like I said, the chakras and the Reiki and all this stuff. I don't know if you guys, Gina, maybe you've done that mm-hmm. before. I don't know if anyone else here has.
Let me say this. All the stuff you make fun of, we make fun of, or one makes fun of, when you do it, it's nice. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, when the guys or the girls burning the sage and running mm-hmm. the fingers along the whatever mm-hmm. and lining up the whatever, like as much smoke and hokum as it may sound like, it's still nice to be on the sort of the person laying on the table in the towel when that shit's going down.
You're 100%. It's like if it's real to you, you know what I mean? Like I felt very at ease and very sad. They did the smudging with the sage, you know, with the burning of the sage. It felt amazing. And, you know, it was real to me. I felt great.
Right.
So, did you drive or fly?
We drove. It took 6.5 hours out there, 8 hours back. There was a lot of Sunday traffic coming back.
And
yeah, that's awesome.
All I ever think of is like, what are you eating? Where's the bar? Oh. Like, how's that work?
Well, that's funny you mention that because it is all inclusive. So they have Chris showed you a picture of the juice. They had a fresh pressed juice bar that you could just get juice anytime you want, mm-hmm. or smoothies or cocktails. The cocktails you had to pay for, but everything else, all the food, all the snacks, all the, you know, they just bring you stuff at the pool or whatever. And it was pretty great. You really felt taken care of. And the best part ended up being, I mean, all the amenities are nice, the room and the pool and the food and the drinks. I really got a lot out of like the healing stuff. Like I felt great. And maybe it was coincidental with the fact that I was just off my meds and I was starting to rebound anyway, but couldn't have come at a better time.
Well, and you can't not feel good in that environment. I mean, that's why we literally just drove to Ventura for a day. Just being stuck in LA amid all this stuff, and all of a sudden you're transported to what feels like another planet, but it's also a resort. Of course, you're just going to feel like that cloud is being lifted. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I just did peyote.
Getting off.
Worked just as well.
Social media. And just people don't realize how easy it is to sort of snap back by just getting a massage while something smells good is burning. Yeah. And, you know, and there's some mandolin music in the distance.
And they're asking you to focus on your breathing and think about you know, things you want to release. And it's spiritual.
So back to the food. How did the food work?
Food was much better than I anticipated. When I heard foods included, I'm like, oh boy. And then the restaurant there is called like The Cafe. I'm like, oh fuck, we're going to have to go somewhere else. It was really, really good. I liked it. It was a very limited menu, but it was all good stuff. Like a filet, shrimp, scallops, chicken, salad. It was all healthy. You know, it's a health retreat.
Is this a, you know, trying to think. Like there's a kind of a different levels of this stuff. There's the no booze, no animal protein, no TV version. And then there's the flat panel TV and you could get a cocktail version, I guess. Was this one, like, was there a TV in the room?
There was. We never once turned it on.
Good.
This wasn't like super granola unplug off the grid. They take care of you for sure. But the food was very, it's exactly what you want out of a place like this, which isn't weird and like tofu and like, you know, off the stuff you wouldn't normally see on a normal menu. This was like really well done versions of just stuff you'd see on a normal, you know, American restaurant menu.
Did you have a chance to go to any of the vortexes?
Yeah. So the whole thing is there's vortices. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all vortices there. The trees grow in a sort of a spiral shape, which is very weird. I didn't go outside the resort. Christy went on a couple of hikes, but the resort is supposedly, you know, in one of the vortices, and so you could, you know, I suppose you could feel the energy.
Direction does the toilet flush in? Because I'm going to solve this vortex problem.
Felt normal to me.
Okay, now I'm the atheist who seems like I'd be dead set against this kind of stuff. I'm completely into this stuff. I mean, I don't do it, but I understand the benefit of it. I understand, especially in today's climate, of just carving out a few days, laying down, not turning the TV on, staying off social media, getting your chakras aligned,
quieting your mind, whatever that means,
and drinking a little fresh pressed juice for breakfast. How cost prohibitive is it, or is it?
It is. So thankfully, they reduced the price significantly because of COVID. They were, you know, limiting some of their treatments or whatever. Some didn't really interest me anyway, so it was neither here nor there. But it's expensive.
It was
probably the most expensive vacation we've taken because every year Hawaii is on fucking points. We fly for free. We stay for free. We paid for this one.
What was the temperature like?
Mid-90s. It was lovely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it more than $10,000 for 7 days?
Depends. The base price is much less than that. But every time you want to do one of the Reiki treatments or one of the massages or one of the, you know, energy healings, that's money on top, and it adds up. But you can get away for much less than what you quoted.
Okay. Well, I'm intrigued and get there and.
It was cool, man. You and I are on the same page. Like, this is not something I seek out and I'm like, oh, I got to get my energy cleared or whatever.
But
when there, when in Rome, so to speak, it's like, yeah, this feels good. This is right.
Well, I think the problem is a lot of the people on both ends misinterpret what's happening, which is the people that are selling it are sort of grafting on these mythical properties. And then the people that are pushing against it going, I don't need to speak to any invisible chakra to feel good about myself. But what you don't realize is it's not either. It's literally being quiet, being with yourself, sometimes just repeating things or breathing or saying things out loud while someone's putting their hands on you and burning something and you're smelling something and you're feeling something. And it just changes you. Not for any. I've always said it. About Buddhism, I was like, I don't buy into Buddhism, but if you want to, if you have a goal and you want to chant on it every day for 20 minutes, you'll probably reach the goal faster. Yeah. What's the harm? Yeah, what could the harm be? All right, let me hit the LifeLock, and then we'll do a Chet Waterhouse. Fraudsters out there, they're sending messages through social media and emails with a Cash App scam. The messages offer free money via the app, help during this difficult time. Do not, these people are the worst. They figure out when you're down and they kick you, man. Support and understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. You could miss certain identity threats if you're just monitoring your credit. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If you have dedicated restoration specialists who will work on your case if you become a victim, but you won't if you get LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No, prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right, should we do a little Chet Waterhouse?
The sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Oh, brother, time for the Waterhouse update brought to you by Hopscotch, the scotch that brings out the kid in you. America's pastime. No, not creating a fake federal breathing agency. Baseball. Will it continue? Tension thicker than tear gas at the Portland post office. St. Louis Cardinals, so many COVID cases, they've dropped behind old folks' homes in the standings. Ouch, that's got to stink. Astros in Oakland got booed by a cardboard cutout. Jose Altuve went into the stands after the cutout, but got a bad paper cut. Had to be rushed to Oakland's up-to-no-good medical center. That wrap-up sponsored by Spineapple Juice. Drink away bad posture with Spineapple Juice. NBA leading the Truman Show bubble season with a 5-0 record, the Phoenix Suns. So COVID or no COVID, the NBA is probably going to shut this whole thing down. Ultimate Fighting. To avoid any shutdown threats, Dana White announced UFC 264 will be held in a C-130 troop transport flying in the eye of a hurricane. That item sponsored by I'm Not a Fan, the portable fan that's as soft as a judgmental whisper. Golf. Colin Morikawa runs away with the PGA Championship. Kid was harder to catch than free porn on a motel TV. Biker rally. Sturgis, South Dakota, hosting 250,000 bikers. Almost none wore masks, but every bar served free Clorox shots. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1975, the place Akron, Ohio, Jack Nicklaus won his fourth PGA crown over Australian Bruce Crampton. Said Crampton, "I cramped up." This Waterhouse update brought to you by Susan Rice for Vice President. Oh, wait, scratch that. Let me find a new. Here we go. Frenzy, the app that finds you way too many friends. If you want more of me this weekend, a legit gig. I'm doing play-by-play on the Starburn Sports simulcast of ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. Join me and my color man, Tommy Ginch Henderson, as the Red Sox take on the Yankees. Sponsored by McStiffin's fully hardened Irish oatmeal. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Chet Waterhouse, oh, always right. The best. Pineapple juice. I like the pineapple juice. I like the hopscotch one. Yeah. Nice.
Frenzy.
What was I thinking is the name of the stand-up special. Pandora, Spotify is where you can get it. The podcast, Play With Pain, with Chet Waterhouse, available on Apple Podcasts. Well, the website, Jeff Cesario, the medium ragu, jeffcesario.com. The big ragu, 5'3", everybody. Jeff Cesario. Jeff, thanks for joining us. We appreciate
my
guys. Friend. Always funny. We'll take a quick break. We'll
thanks
come back with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
So we all know by now, but just to give a brief update, because it did sort of break into the middle of the show, the Secret Service update from having Trump step off the stage in the middle of his briefing. According to a tweet by the Secret Service, an officer involved shooting at 17th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue happened. An official told ABC News that a suspect fired at a non-White House employee and was hit by gunfire from an ununiformed Secret Service officer. Male suspect was taken in an ambulance to a hospital in critical condition with a gunshot wound in the upper body. And because we didn't get to see it at the time, here's what it looked like when they asked Trump to please come with them.
It was anticlimactic.
Excuse me?
Walked right out of the room. And you know what surprised me? And maybe it shouldn't. I don't know. But you just, all the things you hear about him, didn't he seem sort of like refreshingly compliant? Like, oh, I guess we're leaving. You know, like there was no back talk or like, well, what do you think you're doing? And don't you know who I am? He's like, oh, it's time to go.
Yeah. Felt compliant.
Yeah.
He felt malleable for a change.
That's where the bar's at.
Yeah. Compliant. Yeah. I mean, it seemed, I don't know. It seemed reasonable. Like the guy said, hey, we got to go. And he went, oh, yeah. Okay. And just walked off.
So that's just a little footnote to the breaking news. Someone has a vaccine. It's not us, and we're not sure. We don't have any efficacy yet, but Russia claims to have won the worldwide race to create a COVID-19 vaccine. Despite international skepticism, Russia became the first country to register a coronavirus vaccine and declare it ready for use, even though it has yet to begin phase 3 trials, which could take months. Russian President Vladimir Putin insisted that the vaccine has gone through all the necessary tests and that he's already given the vaccine to one of his daughters, an adult woman who's feeling well, has a high number of antibodies. Putin says that doctors, medical workers, teachers, and higher risk groups will be the first to receive the vaccine and will likely begin widespread vaccination in September.
I was looking at the So first off, sadly, you know, everything out of Russia comes with a question mark or an asterisk or something. Like, who knows? You know, that's the problem. The problem is maybe they're lying and maybe they're not lying. I don't know. This is the problem when you lie. You create this aura that you don't have around countries and nations that don't lie frequently. Right. So, again, if this was coming out of Canada, we'd all be chilling the champagne tonight.
Right.
Now it's like, we'll wait and see. Mm. Telling you guys, I think, was I saying, was I talking about the 7.7 billion people and that we're not to a million deaths worldwide yet? Was I saying that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. August said, don't say that into a microphone, but I was like, I was looking it up today. It's like 7.7 billion on the planet and we're at 730 something thousand dead. Worldwide, which is, you know, a high number, but compared to 7.7 billion, I don't know. It doesn't feel as scary to me as it feels to everyone else.
Are you saying it's not a grim milestone?
I'm saying if you're making a movie about a pandemic and you couldn't crack 1 million deaths, most of them elderly, by the way, on the goddamn planet versus 7.7 billion, it's just, you wouldn't see that movie. You wouldn't buy the ticket. It wouldn't be scary enough for you. And then everyone will go, all the dicks always go, oh, tell it to the people that are dead. Well, first off, I can't tell it to the people that are dead. They're already dead. They're in the Neptune Society with Nana and Pappy. But also, look, there's no guarantees on this planet. Shit happens. A fucking meteor could hit. Who the fuck knows? World wars break out at the wrong time. You know, if you're a male and you're turning 18 and a world war breaks out, that is just bad timing. You know, you think about all those people and all that timing. You know, you hear about those guys and they're like, you know, it's like my dad was like too young for World War II and too old for Vietnam.
Wow.
You know, like if you get the timing and I like to add too big a puss for Korea, but that's just
me.
I'm just grafting that on. That could be my own feelings. But the point is Or you could be his older brother who is, you know, Ralph, who was 4 or 5 years older, who ended up being in, right in the middle of the island hopping Japanese campaign, the Pacific campaign, and being buried alive when a mortar went off next to his Browning 50 caliber machine gun. Like, it's just bad luck. You know, there's a timing part of this. And I'd rather be around for a pandemic, especially ones that had these kinds of numbers. 7.7 billion versus not quite 740,000 dead worldwide. I don't know. You guys can all be freaked out. These kind of numbers are not freak out numbers to me. This isn't lock yourself in and never come out numbers for me. Say the population max bet is 7.59, so 7.6 billion. I've read 7.7 today. Well, anyway, hey, who knows how many Chinese fucked since the time I
started right. talking.
Anyway,
the census is notoriously unreliable over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared because the last I kind of checked in about the population of the planet, it was 6 billion. That's another billion and a half people crowding around here. We are going to run out of supplies.
Well, the more they do. I mean, it just grows that much faster. But
the World Bank said 7.6. The last official tally was in 2018, but now it's estimated at 7.8.
Yeah. All right.
I don't like it.
All right. Well, we're not at 1 million deaths worldwide yet. So, you know, to me, optimistic numbers, I would say. So the cure for me is like good. I'd like to do it just to kind of get back to it, but I'm not holding my breath.
Well, there are people that are better people than us who auction off items to help humanity. Adam, I know you've given time, you know, you've let people come tour the studios and things for auction. That's lovely. But when's the last time you did so many pornos that you became a star and auctioned off your signature glasses? Mm. I'm waiting for an answer.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys are familiar with Mia Khalifa.
No.
You might when you see her.
Oh, the song from Fast and Furious?
Yeah. No, she has a brother in the gay porn business called Jiz Khalifa. He's one of the most popular bottoms out there. Funny. But yeah. Go ahead.
Former porn star Mia Khalifa is auctioning her infamous glasses, apparently, that she always wears to help victims of the catastrophic blast in Beirut, saying she's trying to make a positive difference as her native Lebanon continues to recover 1 week later. This, according to the New York Post, the top bid for the iconic glasses as of me reading this right now is, any guesses, for glasses.
I got to tell you, if I was in porn, I would be just like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in his playing days with those sport goggles, you know what I mean? Strap, not even sunglasses. I'm talking elastic strap, like
Eric Dickerson.
It'd take a lot more than a stiff wind to get those babies off me. I'd tell everyone their prescription. I'd have a note from my doctor. That's how I would enter. I would enter the business.
That'd be your thing.
And Gina, take this in the spirit in which it's intended, but you. If you got into porn, it would be bullet dodged for you because, well, let me explain why.
Please do.
You have a prodigious rack, right?
That's true, yeah.
Right. So you would avoid the retinal face. Detaching.
Yeah. And because that's not where the money is.
The money is, well, green is for the money and gold is for the honey. Right. Yeah. So, it, easy cleanup. You know,
don't have to tell me.
No pink. Yeah, right. I'm speaking to the choir here, but no pink eye. Right. None of the baggage that comes along with the B cup.
No rinsing.
That's all
absolutely.
I'm saying.
Thank you.
No problemo.
No, you've given me a lot to think about during
A lot to be grateful for.
Thank you.
Next time you're complaining about not being able to jog, just think about the poor B cups in porn.
You're absolutely right. They do take a beating.
Thank you.
So as of right now, the glasses, the bid right now is at $100,000.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I'm going to show you a little video of her talking about
it. Is she big internationally? Like, is she no? Like, is she?
Ryan, please. Nobody's buying it.
I don't know the name either, but I'm all.
I'd like to know more about this actress.
Well, let's let her talk about it herself. Here you go. She's showing off the goods.
Mia Khalifa.
Showing off her pink dress.
Auction.
Okay, now that the algorithm thinks that this is for white TikTok, I just want to let you guys know that there is a humanitarian crisis in Lebanon right now, and they need our help because their government is corrupt and not doing anything about it. So I'm doing what I can, and what I can do is auction off the original Mia Khalifa glasses, which are on eBay right now, and the bidding is at about 50,000, I believe. So head to the link in my bio. Let's raise some money for the Red Cross in Lebanon. Every single penny is going to them.
Wow.
She's cute.
Yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar auctioned off game-worn goggles. When he says game, oh, he means a regular game, right?
Yeah,
NBA game.
What'd he fetch?
A click over 12 grand.
Yeah. Cute. That's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. Doesn't move the needle.
No.
Wow. So she's over 100 grand. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, with my porn stars, see how to describe this. You know how I love vintage racing?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're more of an On Golden Blonde guy.
Yeah. I'm more like, wait a minute. Didn't I go to high school with that chick? And then
and chances are you did.
Look up her body of work. Like, yeah, I'm the guy who finished racing a 71 Datsun 510, got home and watched a Love Boat episode from 1979. So you can sort of see what camp I'm in, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Throwback.
Mm-hmm. Old school.
Sorry. So au naturel.
Mm.
Au naturel?
Yeah, I've never been a...
You can groom yourself, ladies.
I was never a fan of that. And Playboy kind of
I'm not talking about that.
Uh-oh. You're not talking about boob jobs or any of that stuff. You know, the thing about the porn and the vagine for me is when it looks work. I think so. For whether you're talking about men's hair, John Travolta, if you're listening, or you're talking about women getting work done, or even when you're talking about when you see one of the guys, I deal with all these guys who do really high end custom cars, right? And when you look at a car that they have done, the best thing they'll hear is like, oh, was the bumper this way? Like, and then they go, no, we shaved it all down and we brought it in. And then someone will go, oh, why didn't the factory do it this way? Like, it looks so much better, like the way you're doing it. But you can't exactly tell what they've done. All you know is the product is better, but you can't walk right to it and point at stuff and go, I see what you did here. And I feel that way with the snatch. I feel that go ahead and make it look natural, but clean it up a little bit. But I don't want to know. I don't want to see the sharp lines. You know, like it's sort of like the male body of the guy where they go, oh, that guy's in great shape because he swims all the time versus he's on roids.
Right.
That synthetic look versus a natural look.
And you just hit the nail on the head why I didn't have my nostrils done when I had my nose job.
Mm.
For that reason specifically.
You can have nostrils done? Oh, yeah.
Because the nostrils pinned back is a dead giveaway.
Yeah, I agree.
So I said, just leave as is. Just you know, shape her up. Let's get to it.
I'm telling you, when I got my lawn done, it's different than your grill, but the lawn...
Yeah.
If you get the Kelly Green stuff and just put it all, it just looks like a miniature golf course. You have to
looks
take
like
the one
Brady Lawn.
They have stuff that's like California grass. It's got little speckles of dead grass in it, little gray that's around the temple. Looks so realistic when you put it in.
One yellow strand for every 50, green strands.
Yeah, whatever the ratio is, it makes this perfect sort of natural look. All right, sorry, where were we?
We can all agree. So, tough transition, but Hasbro has removed a Trolls doll from stores after people complained that it was sexually inappropriate. So, trolls are big right now, apparently, and there's a Poppy, I guess, is the star of one of the Trolls movies, and I think it's Anna Kendrick's character. The move comes after an online petition, which gathered 300,000 signatures calling to pull Trolls World Tour Giggle and Sing Poppy. Why?
Well, the fans are committed.
Why don't you throw the picture up, Kaylin, and you'll see why. So in between Poppy's legs, there's a button. And if you push it, she giggles and goes like, ooh.
Well, that's what happens if you push the tank.
That is weird.
But now Hasbro has thoughts about this and said that is not what it's for. It's supposed to be when she sits down, she makes a noise.
Uh-huh.
And she giggles. But the feature was designed to react when the doll was seated, but we recognize the placement of the sensor may be perceived as inappropriate.
It's tainty. So
it's a little tainted.
It's right in between the legs, right at the bottom. I don't know. Here's, I guess, my feeling on most all this stuff, sort of like when, I don't know, what's her name comes out with shoes that are racist. Like, do you think that was her intent, Katy Perry? Do you think she wanted to make racist shoes?
No.
And if the answer is no, then pack nothing to see here. Go protest police brutality. Like, it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary to graft everything onto everything, or to even stop, or even waste your time with certain things. Like, go find. Last I checked, there's still human trafficking going on. Set every piece of energy you have toward getting things taken, dolls taken down at the Toys R Us, and put it all into human trafficking.
But I totally agree with you. But this might be a click different, because it's not like, oh, we're pulling all the Moana costumes because it's cultural appropriation. This is like, this feels different. You know, it's not like, I'm not saying get rid of the doll. I'm saying it doesn't feel totally one-to-one, because you don't want your kid going around and like trying to, you know, put its finger up every doll's butt just to see if it's going to giggle, or friends in preschool.
We have a weird relationship with what encourages people to do whatever. Like, we have a version. So we have like a weird relationship with it. Like, we have rap music and they're talking about shooting people and dropping N-bombs. And someone goes, well, that doesn't make young people do anything. That's just them expressing their art and people get it. And there's a context. And I'm like generally in that camp. And then they're is a version where it's like Trump's blowing a dog whistle to the Klan when he says this or Urban that, and that's going to make these people do this. And I'm like, and then there's video games that's going to encourage people to go out and be violent. And they're like, or it's not. But I'm saying they have a weird selective version of how we interpret all this stuff, because some people, and sometimes the same people, can be in one camp where like this message is getting people to do that. And then the same people are saying there's nothing wrong with that rap music, or there's nothing wrong with video games or buttons on taints of troll dolls. And I'm saying in general, I don't think we're near as pliable as people think we are in terms of like hearing rap music or playing video games or troll
Tipper Gore
taint. Yeah. Taint buttons or whatever. I think at least it's safe to say that if you raise your kids and you do a decent job raising your kids, they're not going to hear rap lyrics, play a video game, or see a taint troll doll and go out and experiment. That's
he touched me in my troll giggle area.
That's
oh boy.
Just me.
Get that drop.
Max Zapata, do we have, I was showing you on my phone, I was showing you that Love Boat thing I was filming.
There are a few
day.
Different Love Boat clips. I didn't know exactly.
This is, I think it's the first one where the hot chick is getting on the boat. It just reminded me with this sort of message and the sexuality and all that kind of stuff. I just sit and watch the Love Boat every night. And it's like this one, the hot chick gets on the boat. It's like Jill St. John or something, the heart to heart chick. I think it was the heart to heart chick. She gets on the boat and the doc, Gopher, and the captain are all just standing there greeting them, and they're all trying to bang her as she walks onto the boat. This is the captain, the doctor, and the purser all just standing there laughing about trying to get in her pants as she walks onto the boat.
Simpler time.
Simpler Welcome times. All right, I'll tell you about Geico first. I'll let Max Pata see if he can find that. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So, what are you waiting for? Let's get going and let's save money now. Never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. That is geico.com. So they're all just hanging around. I've been on 5 cruises now. I don't think I've met the captain or the doctor for that matter. But I want you guys to take a look at the I just shot it right off my TV, so it's not like I downloaded anything or anything, so it's a little bit rough. But I want you to take a look at the doctor in his face as he's trying to pick up this hot chick who just walked on the boat. The captain's going for it first. Sorry, Max Patter, you can play. 42.
Certainly, Miss Dalrymple.
Oh, my.
Just up the stairs.
Look at the doc.
He's making eyes at her.
Dr. Bricker, I'll show you to your cabin. It's right next to my office.
Oh.
Dr. Bricker, excuse me. Yes? Your office is on the other side of the ship. Haven't you heard? Business has been so good, I opened a branch. Perhaps I should show Miss Dalrymple. That way I can save her from the touches with certain love about lounge lizards. Lounge lizards?
Here comes the third employee of the cruise line.
Yes. I've been on a plane all day. I'd like to go to my cabin.
No problem.
I'm sure.
All right, you can pause it. Now, later on, Gopher ends up banging her, so... the doc is like, I'll walk you to your cabin. It's right next to my office. Like, your office is on the other side of the ship. Well, I franchised. It's the weirdest...
He's got her by the elbow. Like, that's how you grab your girl when you're pissed.
This is mainstream 8 o'clock ABC primetime television. Single chicks climbing onto a vessel, captain, doctor. You want to talk about throwing your title around you know, that obviously it's, you know, Louis C.K. is in trouble because if you tell junior comic, hey, you want stage time, don't you? That's you lording your position over them, right? This, the captain, the doctor, just wildly and openly just hitting on hot single chick getting on the boat, like before she even gets to her cabin. Hasn't even got to her cabin. They're trying to drag her up there. I love it. God.
There's a laugh track.
And as I always say, these scripts all had to be approved by Princess Cruise Lines. They all had to give approval on these. I can't remember if I was talking about with this or with Drew, but I mean, if somebody said for breakfast, hey, Isaac, these muffins are a little stale, they would have crossed that out. You can't say that. We're running a cruise ship here. You understand? We have a reputation. We have a reputation here. Oh, man. You guys got to watch a Love Boat. Max Pratt, how insane is that?
It's odd to even see it. I can't explain it. Like, that's nothing like that's on now.
It'd be one thing if the captain saw the bartender doing it and then reprimanded him. The captain and the doctor are going, get out of the way. I got here first.
Yeah, they're falling over themselves.
Yeah, that's like a sexual harassment HR video of what not to do.
It's an HR video, right?
Yeah.
Show it to us one more time and just show me the doc's face. All you have to do is look. Just look at the – turn the sound down and just look at the doc's face. That's all I want you to do when he's, like, undressing her with his eyes and mugging at the camera. He's never met this woman before. Close eye on doc's face.
Ooh. He even gives a little –
Go back one more time. Thanks, Matt. You got to just see. We got to get the bar out of there. Sorry.
Ooh la la.
I just sit home every night of 10 at night watching this shit going, I cannot believe this is what happened. And that's where I got all my ideas about sexuality and the male and the female roles. So,
how's that serving you in 2020?
Yeah. It is seared into my brain. I'm grandfathered in.
It's programmed.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the big ragu come in?
The big ragu. The big ragu. I was watching a promo and I just couldn't. He's like a miniature little acrobat. But sexually, the big ragu, he factors in. I'm not comfortable saying how. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Gina.
All right. One more?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this series of pictures has gone viral in the last 24 hours, really making the rounds. A German man sunbathing in the nude at a lake in Berlin had his leisurely day thrown into a tailspin when a wild boar made off with his laptop. But unlike other people, you know, he's not just pissing and moaning, my laptop's gone. Oh, no. According to an Instagram post that has all the pictures, and I'll show you in a second, a woman who was at the lake where the incident occurred, where the man was sunbathing naked, really gave us the whole story. She writes in her description, the boars first ate a pizza from a man's backpack and then spotted a bright yellow bag which had the laptop in it. They scooped it up, bolted, and I'll show you the pictures now.
Oh.
And the German...
She put a couple of emojis over him just to give him a little bit of dignity, although I don't know if the 10-gallon hat helps. We have another one.
The wild boar with the...
Family of wild boars.
Grab the...
And there he goes with the laptop, and I think there's one more.
Yeah.
He finally snatched it back.
I've noticed some others around wearing the Speedo. You know, they wear the Speedo in Europe. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those dudes, you see those middle-aged dudes that got the gut on them, and they got a little extra weight around the midsection, and they're wearing the Speedo. And it's not too big a leap to get from there to nude. You know what I'm saying? See, here,
small piece of fabric.
We wear board shorts. We got guys with shorts that go down below their knee and come up under their fucking third rib. You know, we got guys with huge shorts. Like the board shorts are as long as the pants my son wore when he was six. You know, like we have 3 foot long shorts. To get us nude, there's got to be a couple of steps to go from board shorts to nude. That's a leap. Speedo to nude, that's half a lateral move, and your balls are hanging out.
You're not leaving anything to the imagination in a Speedo. And I speak as somebody who has been to multiple Greek beaches with, you know, middle-aged Greek men. That's just the style. And a lot of the moms, they are hanging out, just doing their thing. So, I mean, it to see nudity is neither here nor there, but it is jarring when you're not used to it.
Did he get it back?
Stole the laptop. The whole point of the post was, look at how focused this guy was, this naked older man, to get this back. He ran. He leapt over stuff. He's dangling in the breeze, running as fast as he can, snatches the yellow bag back. And when he went back to his towel, this woman who wrote the post said everybody stood up nude and clapped for him.
I got a policy with nude bathing, which is, I'm not uptight about it, but if I'm in an area and there are animals that possess tusks, I keep the shorts on. It's a tusk-related thing, you know? And boars have tusks, and I don't expose the sack anywhere near the tusk, because the sack and the tusk, although they almost sound alike, you know, sack and tusk, but they're really oil, they're water and vinegar. They're just, they shouldn't go anywhere near each other. Yes, Brian.
I was at the place where I was at in Sedona. Lots of guys in board shorts. Also, coincidentally, maybe not, wild animals. Javelinas.
Oh, javelinas. Oh, yeah.
Right. Javelinas, wild deer, all sorts of bats. There are bats.
Wild pigs. It is funny that in the world, as uptight as we are, you could almost tell. Like if you go to Rio de Janeiro or something, they're all wearing like thong back, nothing, nut hammocks or whatever. We wear like shorts that are 3 feet long with Velcro and a drawstring. We're tying it up, man.
Good luck getting in here.
Good luck raping my ass. Like, I got Velcro. I got a button. I got an inside button. I got a shoelace here. Like, I'm tying this shit all up. These are fucking pants that I'm wearing to the beach. Like, it's culture. It's like, it's kind of, they got pockets. They got everything. And they got a liner in there. Like, I'm wearing a Speedo under my shorts. I got the sack hammock in there. Like, some of those board shorts are pretty fucking involved.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're just wearing that. I think culturally, you would know everything about the culture just going down the line to what they wear to the beach, right?
Indeed.
Good luck getting to my tickle button.
All right. Let's let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Mmm. Nick Wallenda is going to be on tomorrow. The High Wire Act. The guy's done the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls.
What are they, Brazilian? Argentinian?
Something like that. I think maybe Argentinian. Or at least the Wallenda. I don't know, but I believe it was his grandfather who was an Argentinian.
Austro-Hungarian descent, primarily.
He died in Argentina, right? Am I making that up?
He died in Puerto Rico.
Or Puerto Rico, sorry.
So they've been around for years and years and years and years.
Yes. They've been around for a long time.
My mom was staying with me for a week a couple months ago, and you know those big mosquito hawks, one's flying in my kitchen, and my mom says, Michael, you got a flying Wallendas in there. Like, yeah. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, they've been around for generations. Yeah.
Yeah, the last one was across that like volcano pit.
Right. Right.
That was awesome.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Nick about that. All right, 15 seconds worth of JB Weld here. Their proud sponsor, the Adam Carolla Show, epoxy adhesive brand used by both DIYers and experienced pros as well. Trusted for 50 years. Available at jbweld.com. Retailers everywhere, including Home Depot and Lowe's and AutoZone. It's JB Weld. All right, Tempe Improv is on as far as we know. We have no idea anymore. September 18th and 19th. We'll do a live podcast there and stand up as well. I'm Your Emotional Support Animal is available. Go to Amazon and leave a review. I do read them and I do appreciate them. Jeff Cesario, everybody. You can check out his podcast, Play with Pain, with Chet Waterhouse. Well, Jeff Cesario, available on Apple Podcasts as well. Until next time, it's Adam for Jeff and Gina and Bald saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Make sure you get Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. The links are at adamcarolla.com.